If you would open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter number 20 tonight. John chapter 20. We're just going to use a couple of verses to start. For those of you who know me well, you know that normally I like to preach expositorily, but tonight I'm going to be preaching a message that's going to take you all over your Bible. So I hope you've got a Bible with you and you've got quick fingers. And if not, you can go back and watch the video of the recording. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Matthew 4 and verse number 4. You'll probably remember the scenario here in Matthew 4. Jesus has been out in the wilderness. The devil comes to tempt him. And the Bible says in Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, Old Testament now. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts this evening. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, I pray that you would give us a renewed vision for the importance of your word in our life. And Lord, not only for ourselves, but that you would help us to lift up our eyes and look beyond ourselves to those that have never had the privilege of having your word for themselves in their own language. And Lord, that we would do all we can, that we would help them, Lord, to have your word, this precious book, in their own language so that they may read it and benefit from it. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Several years ago, I had the privilege of going to Mongolia. That was back in 2008, and I was asked to go for 2 weeks. They told me that I needed to go and help some translators that wanted to translate the New Testament, and they asked me if I could go and kind of give them some ideas and so forth. And so I went, and that 2 weeks turned into an invitation to go back for 2 years. And then when I arrived for the two-year stint, we found out that the other missionaries had decided that since I was there, they were no longer necessary. And so I was left without anybody, and we had to reassemble a team and train some people. And we wound up spending about 8 years, and we're still over there going back and forth trying to finish up a translation of the Bible. And I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you that's what happened. So when we finished the New Testament, a lot of people said, "Well, you've done what you could," and I said, "Yeah, we have, but I feel like they need the whole Bible." You know, the New Testament's a wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. As a matter of fact, I would guess that probably many of us would spend perhaps maybe more time in the New Testament than we would in the Old Testament. But the Bible is very clear in that all of God's words are important. The Bible is very clear that we need the whole counsel of God. The Bible is very clear that the Old Testament helps us to understand the New Testament. So we need both. You as a Christian are not going to have all you need unless you have the whole Bible. Now let's talk about numbers for just a second. This is still introduction. All right, but I just want you to pray with me about something. According to the latest statistics, there are approximately just over 7,400 languages that are still living in the world today. Of those, about 3,800 languages do not have even John 3:16. Let that sink in for a minute. Not a single verse of Scripture and 3,800 spoken living languages. Now, about 2,000 languages have the whole Bible, pardon me, have the New Testament. 2,000 languages have the New Testament, and just over 700 have a whole Bible. So, what we're looking at is approximately 3,800 languages that need the entire Bible from scratch. They have nothing at all. We have approximately 6,700 languages that need the Old Testament, and that's a huge investment. The average Bible, to translate the Bible into one language from Genesis to Revelation, this is an average now, is approximately $840,000. $840,000. Now, if you multiply out how much would be needed to translate the Bible into all the different languages that don't have the Bible, what we need to be praying for is, of course, the people. We need to pray that they'll be trained. And then we need to pray for about $7 billion to translate the Bible into all of those remaining languages. Now, if somebody here has that amount of money and you want to be a blessing, I didn't see anyone that I recognized that has that kind of money. But I would like to remind you that there is a God in heaven. And when we pray, there is no limit to what God can do. Now, I've just come from a church in Michigan 3 days ago that has taken on a language group for themselves, and they're praying that that church would have the privilege of seeing the Bible translated into a language that's never had the scriptures before. And it's amazing to see all that God has done. Now, it's taken them 7 years to get where they are. But on Sunday, the pastor stood up and said that earlier this year, they tried to raise some money to help to buy some land in a country that's close to where they're going to translate the scriptures. And I'm not going to mention specifics due to the sensitivity of where that place is. And their goal was to raise $50,000 to buy some land. And that Sunday, on one day in this church, they received an offering that was enough to buy that land. And then they had $202,000 left over. They received $252,000 in one day in a church of about 130. And they went ahead and built the buildings that they needed for a Bible college and a Bible translation center. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And before somebody jumps on me and says, well, Brother Bill, that's a promise to the Jews of the Old Testament, I still think we can claim it today, folks. I really do. I'm convinced of it. And so tonight what I'd like to try to do is to explain to you why this is really a need and why we need the entire Bible. Why, as a Bible translator, I believe we've got to translate the whole thing. We need to give everybody every single word of God. And there's so much that we could talk about on this. But if I could just remind you, in Matthew chapter 28, there in the Great Commission, as the Lord Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, he told his disciples in verse number 20 of that particular passage, he says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And if I could just tell you, the only place you'll ever find all things is right here in this book, okay? This is where you're going to find all things. And then he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'll tell you what, I sure am grateful for that. I sure am grateful for that. So tonight, why is it that people need to have a whole Bible? I'm going to just give you six very basic reasons. Number one, in order to have assurance of salvation. Now, we've just read in the book of John, chapter number 20, that this book was written, it says, that ye might believe in the name, pardon me, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's in John 20, verse number 31. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. And here Paul is talking to Timothy, reminding him of what Timothy had done. And he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so it is the Bible that helps us to be saved. James chapter 1 and verse number 18. James 1. And verse number 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And so the way we got saved was through God's word. And then in order to know that we have salvation, we need the scriptures. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And so it is God's word that helps us to have assurance of salvation. I have a list of six different reasons in my notes as to why people doubt their salvation. Can I tell you what number one is? They've stopped reading the Bible. You stop reading the scriptures, and the next thing that happens is you start to doubt your salvation. Because as you read the Bible, it just starts confirming time after time after time, I'm a child of God, okay? You get away from the scripture, and you start to forget that. You start to wonder if you really are saved. But the Bible will give you assurance of salvation. Number two, victory over sin. The Bible is given to us so that we can have victory over sin. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And so if you want to have freedom from sin, one of the ways you're going to get that is through the word of God. John chapter 17 and verse number 17, there in that high priestly prayer of Christ, the scriptures say, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Bible helps us to know how to act like a Christian. When Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verses 13 and 14, now this was the first book that was ever written in the New Testament, as far as we can tell. Paul writes these words in 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, which are in Judea or in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And so if we're going to get victory over sin, we're going to start acting like a Christian, we need to have the word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, four areas in which the Bible allows us to become perfected. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so the Bible gives us this victory over sin. It helps to perfect us, but we need the whole Bible. It's for that reason that I would encourage you, if you're not doing this, plan to read systematically through the whole Bible in this upcoming year, from Genesis to Revelation. I know that our church has they're in the bulletin, if you're familiar with this, there's a passage that you can read every day. And if you'll read that passage, you're going to know that you've read through the whole Bible in 1 year. But there are many Christians that have never read the whole Bible. They've missed out on that. And I believe it's a huge blessing that we can read through the entire scriptures, and I would encourage you to do that systematically. Third, the whole Bible gives us guidance in our decisions. Now, I'm sure many of you are like me. See, I have to make a lot of decisions. Sometimes I'm not sure what to do. Sometimes I have to spend large amounts of money. Sometimes I have to make decisions that affect people that live in faraway places. Sometimes I have to make decisions that don't just affect me. I mean, they affect a whole lot of people. And I want to be wise in my decisions. And I will assure you that I have failed at times on that. But when I have sought guidance from the Lord, that has helped me to make some good decisions. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In Psalm 73 and verse number 24, the Bible says in Psalm 73, 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory." See, God's word will help to counsel us. Psalm 19 and verse number 7, the Bible says that the scriptures make the simple to be wise. Okay, so as you and I mean, we're just simple people. We want to be wise people. How can we go about doing that? By spending time in the word of God. Psalm 16 and verse number 11, the Bible says here concerning the Word of God. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so as I'm seeking guidance in the decisions that I face, God's Word was given to help me to be able to make wise decisions. How about number four, some examples to follow? You know, as we begin to read the Scriptures, one of the things we find is that the Bible is full of amazing examples. Maybe you're a young person and you're surrounded by people who are doing the wrong thing. I'd encourage you to read the book of Daniel. Daniel's an amazing book. Here's these four young men living in a foreign country because, by the way, they were kidnapped from Israel and taken away into captivity, okay? And now they're in this situation where they're being told they need to eat certain types of food and drink certain types of drink and act a certain way and talk a certain way, and they refused at the peril of their own life. And God blessed them, and God used them, and God promoted them to the extent that these people who could have lost their life now became in charge of the country that had kidnapped them. You talk about a turn of events. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's something only God can do. But we find these examples in Scripture that are absolutely wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul writes, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7, Paul writes that the church of Thessalonica had become an example to the churches of Achaia, that's southern Greece. And this is a church that got founded, it got started in only three Sabbath days, okay? Less than a month. And this church was already being used by God as an example. See, the Scripture gives us examples to follow. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, talking about keeping our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And is there any better example than our Lord Jesus Christ himself? And so as we look in the Scriptures, we find these examples starting with Adam. And then, what about David? My goodness, what an amazing man, a man after God's own heart, a man who humbled himself when he recognized that he had sinned. And then we read about Noah and the ark. I mean, is anybody here really interested in trying to lead a whole bunch of animals onto a boat with your wife and three boys and then, you know, hope that you endure the smells? I mean, just the smells. Not to mention feeding the cobras and the mosquitoes. And those are amazing examples that we find in Scripture. What about number five? The whole Bible is necessary as an explanation of God's will. You see, God wants us to know His will. I hope you understand that one of the problems that we're facing is that we're in this battle. It's a spiritual battle. The reason we don't always understand God's will is because the devil doesn't want us to understand God's will, and he uses all of his demons to try to confuse us as to what his will is for our life. And so sometimes we may go through our whole life, or at least for many years, confused as to what God's will is for us. But in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 14, we read this, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. God wants us to know his will. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, how is it that we come to know the will of God? Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And verse number 4, Paul writes here concerning himself, okay? His wisdom in the Scripture, what Paul knows about God, Ephesians 3, verse number 4, he says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay? It's not when we listen. It's not even when we hear it. No, it's when we read it. There's something very special about reading the Word of God. I would encourage you. Now, we live in a day where you can get an audio Bible. And you can turn it on in your car as you're driving to work. Could I just ask you, consider not letting that replace your time of actually reading God's Word. See, there's something to be gained by reading it, by actually taking out your Bible and reading it, okay? Letting your eyes see those words on the paper. That's very clear, it seems to me, here in Ephesians chapter 3. Jump down to verse number 11, and then in this same passage, and we won't take the time to read 5 through 10, but in verse number 11 it says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so if we want to know the whole will of God, we need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be reading the Bible. And then finally, number 6, we need the whole Bible in order to have a revival of believers. Now, in our church, we've been praying for a revival, and there are many churches across this land that are praying for a revival. And when we pray for a revival, let me explain exactly what it is we're praying for. What we're praying for is that we as Christians would take our eyes off of the temporary things in this world, and we would put our eyes on Christ, that we would focus on doing God's will, that we would focus on His Word. See, revival is not this experience. Revival is not some sort of an aura. Revival is not this gushy feeling down in your heart because you felt kind of funny after a Sunday service. No, revival is when you become so aware of sin in your life that it burdens you to the point of conviction and you turn away from your sin. And you desire to seek God and His will to be done in your life. That becomes the most important thing for you. Revival is all about changing my will for doing God's will. Okay? Revival is when, and it doesn't need to have a whole bunch of people. It can start with just one person. It can start with one person who says, I want this more than anything. And they seek God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. Let's be honest. We are so often divided in our interests. We have so many things that we're wanting to do that really have nothing to do with our relationship with God. We've kind of missed it in many areas. And oh, that God would help us to just really focus on Him and to have a desire to get along with God. When was the last time that you just said, you know, I'm going to take part of a day here and I'm not going to do what I planned on doing. I'm just going to spend time with God and just read the Scriptures and pray and don't let other things distract us. See, that's really hard to do in the world in which we live. There are so many things calling for our time. And yet, when was the last time that we did as the Scriptures record, be still and know that He is God? See, that's what God wants us to do. And so, if we're going to have revival, we need to understand that this is a rekindling of our desire for God, where we desire God with all of our heart. That's what we want. Psalm 119, verse 167. Pardon me, Psalm 119, 97. Psalm 119, verse number 97. Listen to this as I read it. The Scripture says here, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. See, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us just to yearn for His voice. Look at verse number 37, also in Psalm 119. The Scriptures write, turn mine eyes away from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Psalm 85 and verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? See, revival may result in the salvation of souls. Revival may result in an increase in the church and people getting baptized. It may come to that. But revival, first of all, is a renewal of those of us that are already saved in our walk with God. It's this desire for God's presence in our life. It's a desire to hear more about Him and less about everything else in the world. You know, I don't know about you. I find myself so often when I'm around other people, I talk about so many different things. Okay, I can talk about sports. I can talk about the weather. I can talk about all kinds of stuff. And did I bring up God in any part of that? You know, was that like the focus of me talking with someone else? Quite often it's not. And what happens in revival is that we get this refocus back on God, and suddenly that's what's most important to us. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. The Bible writes here in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart, or a deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. Deuteronomy 13, verse 17 and 18. And I want to thank the guys in the back. They've been really quick with those verses, and I appreciate that. The Bible says, "And there shall cleave not of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show thee mercy and have compassion upon thee and multiply thee as he has sworn unto thy fathers, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God." Now, folks, if those of us who know the Lord understand how much of a blessing the Bible has been to us, should it not be those of us who have been blessed by the Bible that have a desire to give it to those that don't have it? Sometimes people will say something like this to me, "Brother Bill, I don't feel like I'm qualified to be involved in translating the Bible." And one of the things that I've mentioned time after time is this: if I want to know what my father said, and I didn't hear it myself, but one of my brothers or sisters did, I'd rather have one of them tell me than somebody who doesn't even know my family. See, I lost my daddy about 2 years ago. And there are things that my sister Jennifer and my other brothers and sisters heard my dad say at some point or another. And they can tell me what my dad said. And I'll hear it, and I'll be happy to hear those things. Somebody who doesn't even know my family, they come up to me and they say, "Oh, I think your dad once said this or that." I'm not sure I'm going to believe them like I'd believe one of my brothers or sisters. See, you and I have brothers and sisters in Christ that have never heard God's voice, not even one time. And unless we take it to them, that's the way it's going to remain. We can't expect somebody who doesn't even know God to be able to do a good job of giving them the scriptures. It's not possible to translate something that you can't understand. And so as we consider the need of the world, I would encourage you to remember the need of the scriptures, the need of the whole Bible. It's a massive need. It's a huge need. But when we pray, I believe God can use those prayers and answer those prayers, and a great and mighty work can be done. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to have your word in our own language. Lord, many people don't have that opportunity. Many people have never once read the scriptures the way many of us in this room have done it even today. But Lord, I pray that you would please enable us and encourage us to pray. And then, Lord, would you please do a mighty work taking your word to those that have never had it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as believers to remember how important it is that we have all of your word and that we spend time reading and studying all of your word, O Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless this invitation. Let your will be done. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Brother Bill, I've not yet read the Bible through from cover to cover, but with God's help tonight, I'm deciding, I desire to read through the whole Scriptures. I believe after what I've heard, I need to read the whole Bible. You'd say, please pray for me. God's spoken to me in this area, and I commit before God, I'm going to read the whole Bible through from cover to cover. If that's true, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you tonight? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many of you around the room, amen. Thank you. Amen. May God bless you. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, Brother Bill, I really was lost in a lot of what you said tonight. I'm not even sure I'd go to heaven when I die, but I sure would love to know that I'm on my way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And you'd say, please pray for me about my salvation. If you don't know for certain, you don't have that assurance of salvation we talked about, you're not sure you'd spend eternity with Christ, would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Nobody's looking. I just want to pray for you. Is there anyone at all like that tonight? Finally, I'd like to ask, how many of you would say, Brother Bill, God helping me, I'm going to start praying that God would enable His Word to be translated into those many languages that still don't have the Scriptures. Maybe you weren't even aware of the need, but tonight, now that you know, you'd say, I'm going to make that a matter of personal prayer, and that's a decision that you're making this evening. Would you just raise your hand so that I can rejoice with you? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Heavenly Father, would you please have your will and way in all of our hearts? Lord, I know your Holy Spirit may be dealing with some in areas that I haven't even mentioned, but Lord, I know that you have a purpose for having brought us together. And so, Lord, I pray that you would enable us tonight to accomplish all of your purposes. And Lord, thank you for what you will do. Thank you, Lord, for the decisions being made even tonight. Your head still bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to ask our sister to begin playing a hymn of invitation. And if God has spoken to you as we begin to stand now, the Lord has spoken to your heart, the altar is open, I'd encourage you to come and find a place to kneel and pray if there's a decision that you need to make. And just ask God to let His will be done in your life.